gives us is here in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Now, you and I have memorized this prayer over the years, but I want you to know this isn't a prayer that Jesus gave for us to rotely memorize and then just repeat and think that we've done something. No, instead, what Jesus is giving us is an outline of prayer. When he said, when you pray, pray like this, he's saying, here are the essential elements of prayer. Here are the things that you need to incorporate into your daily prayer life. And I hope you don't just have a prayer time. I hope you have a life of prayer that you pray as you go. You pray often during the day, that you rejoice in the presence of God. You walk in dependence upon Him. Jesus said, as you do that, here are the things that need to mark your prayer. Six elements of prayer that are given in this passage. Let me give them to you real quickly. All right. First of all, Jesus says that you and I need to understand the paternity of prayer. Now, maternity means relating to a mother, doesn't it? Paternity means relating to a father. And Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. He starts out with our Father. Now, you need to understand that this is a revolutionary concept that Jesus is introducing into the life of prayer. For in the Old Testament, the Jewish nation would call him Lord, or would call him Creator, or would call him Master, but would have never have thought about addressing God as Father. But when Jesus comes, he changes everything. He says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. I am in the Father, and the Father in me. I and the Father are one. And so he says, I have come to make God known to you in a special way. And so when you pray, I want you to pray our Father. Now, in that, he's giving us two important truths. Number one, that prayer is based upon a redemptive relationship. That you and I pray not like the pagans do, shouting and hoping that their shouts and many words will cause them to be heard. But you and I come to a Father who has loved us. He has loved us so much that he sent his Son to die for our sins, that we might be birthed into his family. You remember in John 3 when Jesus comes to Nicodemus, and that teacher of the Jews, and he says to him, you must be born again. And Nicodemus said, how's that possible? Can I enter into my mother's womb again and be born the second time? And Jesus said, are you a teacher of the Jews? You don't understand. You've got to be born physically. You've got to be born spiritually. If you're born once, you die twice. Born just physically, you're going to die physically one day, and you're going to die spiritually, and that is hell. But if you're born twice, if you're born physically and spiritually, you're just going to die once, and that's physically, and that's only if Jesus doesn't come back while you're still alive, and even if you're dead, he's going to raise you up. And so he says you must be born from above, a new life. In John 1:12, Jesus summed it up this way. It says, to as many as received him, Jesus, the Word, who is eternal God and who became flesh, to those that believed on him, to them gave he the power, the authority to become the children of God. And so Prayer is a covenant relationship with God that God the Father makes with those who have been birthed into His forever family. I've had people say, "Well, you know, I pray when it's an emergency, or I pray when everything else fails." No. Jesus says, "I want you to know that I shed my blood to bring you into a relationship with the Father who cares." But not only is it a redemptive relationship that Jesus is teaching, it's also an intimate relationship. In Galatians 4:6, it talks about when we were saved, that God gave us His Spirit, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." Have any of you been to Israel or to the Middle East? If you go and you're observant, you'll watch a child with his or her father. And when that child speaks to their father, they don't say, "Father." They look at him and say, "Abba." It's an intimate word of close relationship. You and I have to be so very reverent our understanding of God. But I want you to know that when you were birthed into the family of God, His great love for you allows you to come as that little child, so deeply in love and dependent that you say, "Abba, familiar, the one I love with all of my heart." Now Jesus said, when you pray, I want you to understand that. You pray, "Our Father, my Father." After he gives us the paternity of prayer, the second element that Jesus gives us is the praise of prayer. "Hallowed be thy name." Have you ever noticed that this model prayer that Jesus gives us begins and ends with praise? "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, made holy, adored, reverenced be your name." And then it ends with, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Makes you think about the scene of heaven, doesn't it? Where the thrones are around the throne of God saying, "Power and honor and glory belong to you." And he books in this prayer with praise, because praise is the worship of prayer. I want you to know, prayer's not about you and me. Prayer's about God. And we come into His presence by lifting Him up, by giving Him His rightful place, by standing in astonishment of His majesty, of bowing down in glad adoration of the wonder and the greatness of His grandeur and His glory. And when you do that, the only language that comes is praise and adoration. For you see, prayer is about the glory of God. It's not so that you and I can just get things from God. It's so that the whole world will know, as we live in dependence upon Him, that He is God and God alone, that He is mighty, that He is faithful, that He is good, that He is glorious. And so we start with praise. And that praise has a practical impact on our praying. Because praise is the fuel of faith. You and I don't work up faith. Now I got to go pump it up. I'm going to go down Lifeway and buy me some more faith. Doesn't work that way, does it? You know what faith is? Faith is your response to the greatness of God and the surety of His promises. And so the more you dwell on the greatness and the praise of God, the stronger faith will be. One of the things that you'll discover if you get serious about studying the prayers of the Bible of men and women who had power with God, you'll find that they were always started in praise. They were long in praise, and then they'd give their petition and be short, and then they'd end in praise. It's all about the glory of God in His people and through His people. There's worship, praise. The third element of prayer that Jesus gives us in this model of prayer, after the paternity of prayer, after the praise of prayer, there is the priority of prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Help me out of this jam. No, what's his next thing he teaches us to pray? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The priority of prayer is kingdom work. And I want you to know this is the labor of prayer. How do you pray, Your kingdom come? That is the reign and the rule of Jesus. How do you pray that? I'm going to tell you a lot of different ways. But the primary way is through a faith-filled and faithful and consistent ministry of intercession. Now watch me. Parents, you need to pray for your children from time. We prayed for our children when we learned they were coming. And just pray they'd come to know Jesus. Just pray that they would grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus and walk with Him all of the days of their lives. I prayed that for my children. I pray that for my grandchildren. I want them in the kingdom. I want you to know you do that when you spend much time in intercession for those who teach and preach the Word of God. Your Sunday school teacher, your pastor. Before your pastor gets up here to preach, people will gather here in the altar, and others will in their own hearts be praying for him. And that's great and wonderful. But I want you to know you need to spend much time in intercession for those who labor among you, instructing you in the Word of God. You remember Israel was in the Exodus and they came to battle with the Amalekites, and General Joshua is down in the valley and he's leading the attack, and Moses is standing up on a mount, and it says as long as he uplifted his hands in intercession, the victory went to Joshua. But when he grew weary and he let down his hands, the Amalekites would win. And he lifted up his hands and he let down his hands because they grew weary. And he lifted up his hands and suddenly Aaron and Hur came up beside him and held up his hands. I want you to know your pastor needs you to be an Aaron and a Hur for him. Regularly, daily. You and I pray your kingdom come when we pray for lost people to be saved. Can I just tell you something? You know why we don't see a lot more lost people coming to know Jesus? Because we don't have great burdens for them. We don't tell a lot of people about Jesus. Can I make you a challenge? If you're serious about the labor of prayer, about the glory of God through prayer, that you make a list and you keep it in your Bible. And you start a list of lost people that you know that are close to you. Could be people in your family. People that you work with. Neighbors. Folks that you do business with. You know that are far away. And you just put them down. You write them down. And you just pray for them. You just ask God the Holy Spirit to give you boldness to share the gospel or to bring someone else to share the gospel. Bring conviction into their hearts and pray that they would come to repent of their sins and trust Jesus. You and I ought to labor with broken hearts over the lost. You and I do kingdom praying when we keep clean hearts before the Lord. Your kingdom come, Lord, that's my concern. May the reign of Jesus expand until he comes again and the earth is filled with his knowledge as the water covers the sea. Lord, I want the fame of his name to be extended. I want other people to come to bow their knees before him, love him, and know him. That's kingdom praying. That's the will of God. He's not willing that any should perish, but all that come to repentance. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can I tell you something? Prayer is not designed to get our will done on earth. It is designed to get God's will done on earth. Now listen, we're going to talk about the petition of prayers in just a moment. And it's important that we do that. But for so many of us, that's about the sum of our praying is asking things from God. And Jesus said, I want you to know that God has redeemed you, made you his children, brought you into this intimate relationship with him. So that you could give glory and honor and praise to him and you could be involved in what he's doing here on planet Earth, his kingdom. And then after he does the priority of praying, he talks about the petition of praying. Says, give us this day our daily bread. That is the Father inviting his children to come and ask. It's a truth that's taught over and over in Matthew 6:33. Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God, if that's your priority, all of these other things will be added unto you. In Matthew 7, Jesus said in verse 7, "Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and he who knocks it will be opened to him." Now listen to what he says. "Or what man is there among you whom when his son asks him for a loaf will give him a stone? Or when he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If then you, being evil," being people who have sin in their heart, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him?" Wow. What confidence that gives us in prayer. 1 Peter 5:7 says we're to cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. You and I don't need to be bashful to ask. In fact, when Jesus gives us this model prayer, you know how he introduces it? In verse 8, he says, "So do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." I don't come as a beggar. I come as a child. And I lay that need down before him. Petition. And did you notice he said, "Our daily bread"? Day by day, I live in dependence upon him. His sufficiency, his faithfulness, his goodness. You know, I once asked the Lord, "Why don't you just give me a lot of money?" And the reason is, it would have become an idol in my life and a point of independence from him. And so he just kept us where we just pray. "Lord, you know the need. We ask you to supply it." And I found him faithful through the years. Amen? How many of you can say, like David, "I've been young and I've been old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging bread"? Can you say that? I can say it. Raise your hand if you can say it. Don't be stumped on a log. If I wanted to do that, I'd have preached at those turtles in my backyard. You and I do you see the intimacy and the importance that Jesus puts in prayer in the life of a believer? Now, the fifth element of prayer that Jesus gives us: there's paternity, there's praise, there's priority, there's petition, but then there's pardon. But what does he say after "give us this day our daily bread"? "Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors." Now, I want you to know, in that pardon of prayer that he gives to us, there is the need of pardon that is there. Forgive us our debts. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us when we blow it. Now, I don't know about you, but that's pretty much a part of my, not just daily prayer life, but my prayer life through the day. Who will go into the presence of the Lord but he who has clean hands and a pure heart? I don't know about you. I'm thankful, though I'm not perfect, I can be clean. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all of our sins. And I just need to come and I just need to ask God to forgive me, to change my heart, to pardon me, to cleanse me. And so there is the necessity. One of the reasons that you and I have struggles with prayer is because we don't take that need for cleansing seriously. But not only is there the necessity of pardon that Jesus gives us here, but there is the nature of pardon. Listen to what he says. Forgive us our debts, how? As we forgive our debtors. In fact, this is the only part of the prayer that Jesus amplifies after it, because in verses 14 and 15, after he's taught us to pray this way, he says, for if you forgive others for their transgressions, your Father, your Heavenly Father, will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Wow. You know what it's simply saying? You remember Jesus, about the parable about the guy, and he owed his master this exorbitant sum. I mean, it's so big, if he worked all of his life, he couldn't pay but part of it. No hope for paying the debt. And the master comes to him and says, all right, it's time to pay up. The servant said, I can't do that. I don't have that. Man, I can't even imagine that much money. How can I pay you? I ask you to forgive me my debt. And the master had mercy on him and frankly and fully forgave his debt. Wiped it out. It didn't exist anymore. This servant who's been forgiven so much goes and finds another servant who owes him 10 bucks. And he says to that servant, it's time to pay up. His fellow servant said, man, I wish I could, but I can't. I mean, times have been tough. Kids have been sick. Had to buy new shoes for them. All the expenses. I don't have it right now. I'll get it to you, but I don't have it right now. And this forgiven servant says, pay it up now. He says, I can't. All right, I'm going to have you put in debtor's prison. You have to stay in the prison until you can pay me. And the master hears, and he calls this servant, and he says, didn't I forgive your debts, which were so great? And you wouldn't even forgive somebody else of something little. And the master became angry and said, cast him into the prison. Why? Because he had not appreciated the grace that had been given to him. He took it for granted. If you and I don't know about you, but I've been forgiven of a lot. In Ephesians 4 says, be ye kind one toward another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, how? Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And I want you to know, if you hold unforgiveness and bitterness and anger in your heart toward other people, it's just simply saying to God, I take your grace for granted. I need grace, but I'm not willing to give grace to others. And Jesus says, you need grace. If you're going to have a powerful prayer life, if you're going to have an intimate relationship with God, you need clean hands and a pure heart, and that only comes from the washing of forgiveness. And yet he says, if you won't forgive, you can't really experience grace. And then the sixth protection of prayer, or sixth element of prayer, that Jesus gives, paternity, our Father. Praise, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Priority, thy kingdom come. petition, give me this day my daily bread. Pardon, forgive me my debts. Wash me and give me a heart full of grace. Let me stand in awe of your grace. And then there's the protection of prayer. Verse 13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God doesn't lead you into temptation, all right? Just praying for his leadership. And Psalm 23 says he leads us where? In the paths of righteousness. When I'm walking and following him, I'm walking in righteousness, growing in righteousness. And protect me from evil. Literally, it is the evil one. From Satan and his devices, Satan and his attacks, Satan and his lies, protect me with your truth. And so Jesus gives us this teaching on prayer. And the reason is he doesn't want us to have a lopsided prayer life. Have any of you ever had a flat tire and had to drive on it? We were coming on an on-ramp on one of those busy expressways in California. And I mean, when it says 70, they think it is a 9. And they're just zooming. And I hit a pothole. It's night. And blow out a tire. And had to pull over right against the guardrail and get out. And those cars are just zooming by. And I get out to jack, you know, and got that donut spare, put it on. It was flat. And I think, how in the world am I going to get home? And so I, just on that lopsided tire. Jesus said, I don't want your prayers to be like that. I want you to have a healthy, full-orbed prayer life. I want prayer to be more than just saying, God, give me this, help me there. I want you to pray when you pray. Years ago, I was studying this passage of Scripture. And where Jesus says, when you pray, pray this way. I got caught up on those words, when you pray, pray. And as I did, I realized there's a lot of times that I say prayers and I don't pray. I go through the motions and I don't have communion with God, and I'm not concerned with the glory of God, and I'm not laboring for the kingdom of God, and I'm not clean before the Lord, and I'm wandering in places I ought not to be instead of walking in righteousness where he leads, and I go through the motions, not the reality of prayer. How's your prayer life? How often do you pray? How do you pray? Are you seeing things happen because you prayed? I mean, not things that you can just explain in other ways, that just there's no explanation, but that God moved. God's doing something great. He's showing you great and mighty things that you wouldn't even know. And he's answering in ways that astonish you. That other people are saying, wow, your God's a great and mighty God. Other people are coming to know him because of the way you pray. How's your prayer life? Some of you need to come into a redemptive relationship this morning with Jesus. You need to be able to say, Our Father, to God. You need to be born again and birthed into his family. The only way that you have that happens is believing in him, turning from your sins and trusting him. And when we sing in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come. And I'll share with you how that can happen in your life. Maybe you're here and you need to become a part of the family of Emmanuel. Maybe you've trusted Jesus and you just need to follow him on baptism. Or maybe just where you are or here in this prayer life, you say, Lord, teach me to pray more and more like you. We're going to stand. We're going to sing. God speaks. I'm going to ask you to come quickly right now.